Hello, we're glad to have you join us for this week's broadcast. We pray that today's message will be a blessing to you. We're looking today at a passage in John chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were therefore together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine, and none of his disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now, as we look at this passage, I want you to realize that Jesus had told the disciples to go here to the sea at Galilee, and he had told them to wait. And I want you to realize that they got a little bit impatient. Now, I don't know who's listening this morning. They might not be anybody that struggles with this but me, but I know I tend to get impatient. I want the Lord to do something, and I want to do it now. And sometimes as Christians, we get ahead of the Lord and we go out and we try to do things on our own. We get impatient and we get ourselves in trouble. Sometimes we get impatient and we go back to our old occupation, as Peter did. We go back to our old ways, to the things that we did before we were saved. And Peter, here the disciples, there's a disagreement over this among some commentators, but I don't see anywhere that Jesus ever suggested that they go back fishing. They were called to be fishers of men, but here they went out. They went back to their old ways. They went back to their old occupation before they got saved, and they got impatient. Peter got tired of waiting, and he said, I go a fishing. But you must realize today, if you go back to your old ways, if you quit doing the things that God has told you to do, you quit waiting on him and you quit serving him, you must realize there's always a crowd that will go with you. And I want you to know there was a crowd that went with Peter on this boat. We see, first of all, we see the crew. I want you to see Peter here, who was fervent, but often failing. We see Thomas, who was dutiful but doubted. Remember, he said he would not believe unless he could put his fingers into Jesus's side and touch the nail prints in his hands. Whenever Jesus was going back to Lazarus, who had died, to raise him from the dead, he said in John 11:16, let us also go that we may die with him. I admire him for being willing to go even though he might die, but he was doubting who he was with. He forgot who he was with. We remember Nathanael. He was contentious, yet he later became convinced. Remember, he said when he first heard about Jesus, can anything good come from Nazareth? In John 1:46, we see James and John, the sons of thunder. They were brave, but they were brawling. They were ready to call down fire from heaven in Luke 9:54 when they could not find accommodations. What a crowd that Jesus had in this ship. What a crowd that went with Peter. But notice there was two men that were unnamed. It's not recorded anywhere in the Gospels. It's not recorded anywhere in the Bible. We can guess, we can speculate, but we do not know who these two men were. And I believe the Holy Spirit left that as such, so we would realize that there was a seat for me and a seat for you in this ship. We must be careful not to ever think too highly of ourselves. We must be careful not to get to a place and think that we would not do, we would not mess up, we would not do as others have done, even as those in the Bible. We need to be careful. We need to always be aware. Now, imagine these men seeing what they saw and knowing what they knew when they got tired of waiting. They returned to their former occupation. I ask you today, have you returned to the things that you used to do? Have you returned to trying to do things on your own? In John 15:5, Jesus says, "For without me, you can do nothing." We need to be careful. We need to make sure that we stay on the course, we stay on the path that Jesus has set us on. I want you to see, next of all, the command. The command. He says to cast the net on the right side in John 26:6. Remember in Luke 5, John told Simon, we know him as Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Peter, he didn't let down the nets in verse 5, chapter Luke, but we see he let down a net and the net break. And I'm glad at this point that Peter had at least learned to listen. And when Jesus gave specific instructions, he cast the net on the right side here in John 21:6. But I want to ask you, now we go back and we look at this word, and it does indeed, if you go back to the Greek, it does mean the right-hand side of the boat. But I want to ask you, I want to take just a little bit of liberty and ask you today, are you on the right side? Have you cast your net on the right side of God's will? Are you on the right side of Calvary? Hallelujah. Are you on the side with the thief that mocked and made fun of Jesus and said, "Hey, why don't you get us down from here?" Are you on the side of the repentant thief that just said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom"? Which side of Calvary are you on? Which side of Jesus are you on? Are you on the side that's mocking him and making fun of him? Or are you on the side that has accepted him as your Savior? I hope that if you're listening this morning, I hope you have accepted him. If you've not accepted him, I hope and I pray that you will accept him. Let me ask you, are you on the right side of God's word? Are you following? Are you obeying God's word? Are you believing everything in God's word is the truth? Do you believe it? It is inspired, the inspired, infallible word of God. And are you accepting every bit of it? Are you trying to say that some of it's outdated, some of it's old, some of it don't apply today? Or do you just accept it? Do you just accept it as truth? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God's word, and I'm thankful that his word's still true. It's still just as true in 2024 as it was in the year 2000 when everybody was worried about what was going to happen. It's still just as true as it was during World War I and World War II and during Vietnam and during the great conflicts of this country, during the Revolutionary War. It's still just as true. It's just as true as it was for our fathers, for our grandfathers, for our great-grandfathers. It's still just as true. And you've got to ask yourself today, are you on the right side of God's word? Is your family on the right side of God and his word? Is your ministry, is your church on the right side? We must make sure we're on the right side and we're following God's commands. I want you to see not only the command, but let's see the catch. The catch. They caught an abundant supply because they listened to the master. But I want you to note they didn't take them to the market. They took him to the one that was already frying fish. As another preacher said, they took him to the one that knew how to clean them. Hey, as we see souls get saved, what are we doing after that? Are we attempting to disciple? Have we got some kind of program set up? Or are we just taking them to Jesus, taking them back to the truth, taking them
back to the world. There's a word. There's nothing wrong with having a discipleship program. There's nothing wrong with having a plan or something in place. But, oh, we need to make sure that we still take them back in prayer to Jesus, that we take them back to the word, that we take them back to the truth. We take them back to the one that saved them. Jude, verse number 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior." We need to make sure that our ministries are based on Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we are waiting, that we are waiting for his command. We are waiting before we set out, before we get out on our own and try to do things our own way. We need to make sure that we're being led of Jesus. We need to make sure we're being led by his word, being led by his command. We need to make sure we're on the right side, if you will. And we need to make sure that we take those catches that God blesses us with, those ones that we see saved. We need to make sure we take them back to Christ and we lead them to Christ and we lead them closer. If you're recently saved and you're listening to this broadcast this morning, I challenge you. I beg you, get in your Bible, find you a good Bible-believing local church, and get connected and get closer to Christ. Pray and trust him. Hey, it's easy. Sometimes we've got an issue this day and age where people get saved just enough to avoid hell, but they don't get saved enough to see their life change. Now, the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." And I believe with all my heart, I believe according to the word of God, if you're saved, I believe we will see some works. It's not the works that saves you, but salvation does produce works. It does produce fruit. It does produce a change in your life. Let's learn to be patient. Let's learn to wait on his commands. Let's learn to listen, and let's learn to trust him. Amen. I pray that this message has been a blessing and a help to you in your ministry, wherever you are. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to invite you to come join us at Riverside Baptist Church, 871 Riverside Drive, Asheville, North Carolina. God bless.